Michael Schumacher. Look at that, 3/10 of a second faster. Fantastic, absolutely incredible.
And yes, if you haven't guessed it by now, it's the British Grand Prix weekend. And in this podcast, we'll be looking at the news in the paddock. David Coulthard announcing his retirement. Donington, yes, Donington, not Silverstone. Looking like the home of the British Grand Prix from 2010. And, well, all that news and more. This is the British Grand Prix weekend. And this is F1 episode 86. I am JK, a proud Briton. Now, I'm not at Silverstone this year because, well, complications, let's say, but Silverstone is completely sold out. Eat your heart out, Donington, some will be saying. And, well, goodness me, take a deep breath, practice session 1 and 2. But before that, we're going to be looking at the news, Donington and DC. Well, let's be checking out that news, and the first bit of news is Coulthard is retiring. Yes, David Coulthard confirms his retirement decision. There have been rumours, this is thanks to ITVF1.com, David Coulthard, he's confirmed that he's retiring from Formula One racing at the end of the 2008 season. But the Scot intends to remain involved in the sport and will stay on at Red Bull Racing as a consultant and development driver. He said, I would like to announce today my decision to retire from Formula One at the end of the season. The statement went on to say, I will remain actively involved in the sport as a consultant to Red Bull Racing, focusing on testing and development of the cars. I am proud of my work at Red Bull Racing and will continue to race with the same focus until the last lap in Brazil. And thereafter, I will continue to help the team develop and move towards their ultimate goal of winning races. And the ITVF1.com columnist, yes, Coulthard, exclusive columnist to ITVF1, if you want to go there, he's revealed that he had decided earlier in the season that this would be his last year of F1 racing. He said, my decision to retire was taken earlier in the year and based on a desire to stop while I am still competitive and enjoying the immense challenge that Grand Prix driving represents, DC explained. He said, I also have the desire to look for new challenges within the sport. The decision to make this announcement at the British Grand Prix should be an obvious one for all to understand, as I have achieved 2 of my 13 F1 victories at Silverstone, and I am a member of the British Racing Drivers Club, which hosts this event. He added that while this year's Interlagos race would be his final F1 start, he would not rule out racing in another category in the future. He said, I have an open mind as to whether or not I will compete again in the future in some other form of motorsport, so I am definitely not hanging up my helmet, DC said. The 37-year-old has contested in 237 Grand Prix since making his debut with Williams in mid-1994 when he was promoted to from test driver duty to the race team following the death of Ayrton Senna. He remained with Williams until the end of 95, taking his first F1 win in Portugal that year before switching to McLaren, where he would claim 12 further victories during a record 9-year stint at the team. Now, DC then joined Red Bull Racing for its first F1 season and has played an integral role in the team's progress up the grid. So there you go, DC retiring. We will have a David Coulthard special coming sometime towards the end of the season. Why? Because I like good old DC. Ben, Formula One will not be the same without him. Goodness me, he's been in Formula One, yes, since 1994. And I think only Patrese and Rubens Barrichello, well, two of the more experienced drivers. There's a couple more, but DC, definitely one of the longer runners in the sport of Formula One. And, well, next up, we're going to be having a look at the somewhat shocking or surprising news that Silverstone is, well, its last British Grand Prix, apparently, is going to be in 2010. Yes, this is from autosport.com, and the British Grand Prix will leave Silverstone and move to Donington Park from 2010, the FIA announced on that Friday. Now, after months of speculation about whether or not Silverstone would retain the race, Donington Park has moved to compete a deal to secure the event. FIA President Max Moser, he has said that after many years of patient but fruitless negotiation with the BRDC, we are delighted that Bernie has nevertheless been able to ensure that the British Grand Prix will keep its place on the Formula One World Championship calendar. He said, "We understand that the development program plan for Donington will achieve the very high standards we and FOM expect from a modern F1 circuit. Finally, British Formula One fans will get the Grand Prix venue they deserve." Bernie Eccleston, FOM president, added, "Finally, the uncertainty is over. A contract has been signed with Donington Park and the future of the British Grand Prix is now secure. We wanted a world-class venue for Formula One in Britain, something that teams and British F1 fans can be proud of. The major development plans for Donington will give us exactly that. A venue will now put British motorsport back on the map. I am sorry that we could not have helped Silverstone to raise the money to carry out the circuit improvements and run Formula One. I believe that the government should have supported them, which would have cost probably less than 0.002% of the government's commitment for the Olympic Games. Now, forgetting the Olympic Games, Silverstone is a fantastic venue. It's sold out for a reason, well, thanks to Lewis Hamilton, but it's a lovely place to go to. And as far as the track and facilities, they are absolutely amazing. If you've ever been to Brazil, or even the Canadian Grand Prix, they can't even measure up. And Donington, Donington has a lot more work to do than Silverstone. Both of them are excellent tracks, though, and I think Bernie Eccleston's a schmuck. As many people know, he never liked Silverstone. He always slags it off. Bernie Eccleston, yes, isn't it about time that him and Max Mosley retire? I've been saying that a lot. But anyway, Donington, 2010, I'll be there, if indeed it does take place, for the British Grand Prix. Well, enough of the news for the time being, and let's get into that first practice session. Yes, where a Ferrari was fastest, but that same Ferrari definitely was not on the track come the end of the session. Yes, Felipe Massa took the honours, going fastest, but as I said, he crashed. Yes, Felipe Massa topped the times. This is once again from ITVF1.com. He topped the times for the first practice session at the British Grand Prix, but came to a dramatic halt when he crashed heavily at Stowe Corner with half an hour remaining. Yes, Massa lost control on oil deposited by Fernando Alonso's Renault, which had blown up near the end of Hangar Strait, so not completely Massa's fault. The world championship leader's Ferrari swapped ends on him as it hit the trail of oil on the approach to Stowe and hit the barrier's rear first. The violent impact demolished the right rear corner of the F2008, but Massa fortunately walked away unscathed, stopping to exchange notes with Alonso as he sought to understand what had pitched him off the track. The session then restarted after an 18-minute clear-up operation, but the cement dust on the track on the racing line at Stowe in effect tightened the racing line and made improvements difficult, ensuring Massa's time remained unbeaten. The McLarens, though, were hot on the Ferrari's heels throughout the session and finished second and third fastest, with Kovalainen leading the Woking squad's challenge. The Finn finished just 12 thousandths of a second shy of Massa's time, with the team hero, Lewis Hamilton, just 0.048 seconds adrift. Well done, McLaren. At least it looks like at the moment McLaren and Ferrari are close on pace. Now, last year's British Grand Prix winner Raikkonen was a comparatively distant fourth fastest in the second Ferrari, while Kubica was fifth for BMW Sauber. Yes, the pole's first run had been spoiled when he came across a slow moving Massa in the Priory Brooklands complex, prompting Kubica to gesticulate, as they say, angrily. Now, Alonso, he finished sixth on the timesheets, but his engine failure will be a concern to Renault, which also suffered a number of technical problems at last week's Silverstone test. Yes, Vettel once again punched above his weight for Toro Rosso, with the seventh best time ahead of rookie Nelson Piquet in the second Renault. Now, David Coulthard made a promising start to his final British Grand Prix outing with ninth fastest, while Nico Rosberg rounded out the top 10 for the Williams team. And, well, hold your breath, coming is that top 20. And in fastest is the crashed Ferrari of Felipe Massa. Second, Kovalainen in the McLaren. Third, Hamilton in the other McLaren. Fourth, Raikkonen in the other Ferrari. Fifth, Kubica in the BMW. Sixth, Alonso in the Renault. Seventh, the Toro Rosso. Well done. Or Sebastian Vettel. Eighth, Piquet in the Renault. The last British Grand Prix for David Coulthard in the Red Bull. Yes, he's ninth. 10th, Rosberg in the Williams. 11th, Webber in the Red Bull. 12th, Glock in the Toyota. 13th, Heidfeld in the BMW. 14th, Bordeaux. 15th, Trulli in the Toyota. 16th, Nakajima in the Williams. 17th, Button. 18th and 19th, the two Force Indias of Sutil and Fisichella. And last is the Honda of Barrichello. Well, before we get into any more practice sessions, let's have a look at the British Grand Prix track of Silverstone. Somewhat unique. Yes, we did this last year. ITV did a Murray Walker F1 kind of challenge thing, starring David Coulthard, against two Mercedes, and seeing how fast is an F1 car around Silverstone.
Formula One is the ultimate challenge of skill, speed and bravery. Over 200 miles an hour on the straights, but hot, sticky tyres give staggeringly short braking distances. But just how comparatively fast is a Grand Prix car? To find out, we're matching two Mercedes-Benz road cars against this year's McLaren Mercedes Grand Prix car round a lap of Silverstone. But we're giving the road cars a big, big start. There they are on the grid, and enter the new Mercedes A160. Sports car top man Ian Flux drives it. In the sporty E50 saloon, it's Porsche Super Cup star Johnny Molum. And in the Grand Prix McLaren, Scotland's superstar David Coulthard. All set to go, and the little A160 is going to be the first away. Ian Flux turns the key, fires it up, revs it up. Away he goes, and it'll go up to 115 miles an hour on the straight. Meantime, David Coulthard is checking his investments. 15 seconds later, it's Johnny Molum's turn to go in the big E50. 5 litres. It's a V8 engine. It's got bags of power, and he's going to need it. Ian Flux, well on his way now. Really pushing the little A160. Coulthard getting ready. Molum can see the A160 ahead of him, but it's still a long way ahead as Coulthard leisurely gets in the McLaren. Almost 40 seconds gone. Ian Flux is at Beckett's, getting it right on the door handles. He's pushing it as hard as it can go. And look back, there's Molum in the black Mercedes. David Coulthard belts up. Molum is at Beckett's. Can he catch Flux? But can he stay ahead of David Coulthard when the McLaren starts? It won't be long before he does. There, the red dot is Coulthard. The road cars are on the hangar straight. 750 horsepower. And it's go. Just look at the acceleration as he goes down to Cox Corner. Now we'll see the difference. Molum is gaining on Flux, but Coulthard is really on his way. Molum is at the end of the hangar straight, but Coulthard is at Maggots at 170 miles an hour while the others are in the Vale. We're with Ian Flux through Club Corner. Look back. There's Molum. It's down to about 40 miles an hour for this very, very tight left-hander. And David Coulthard is doing over 100 miles an hour as he comes out of Beckett's. On car with Coulthard, up to 170 miles an hour. Coming up to Abbey. It's close. There's the 160. Look back. Molum in the E50. Coulthard is eating up the difference. Into Abbey. And where is Coulthard? He's just entering the Vale. As Flux comes out of Abbey, up towards Bridge, the right-hander. This is it. Flux exits the bridge. David Coulthard is coming up to Abbey now. He's doing 170 miles an hour as he approaches. Backs right off. Now, surely he's not going to be able to catch him in the remaining difference, but he comes flying out of Bridge. Up to the left-hander and firing. He can see the two Mercedes saloons in front of him. It's going to be mighty, mighty close. Just two corners now. David Coulthard's got the power, but has he got the line? It looks to me as though he's on the wrong line and he's playing with them. He's coming back. He's passing Molum. Goes past Molum. Molum passes Ian Flux in the A160. David Coulthard crosses the line and wins. demolished a 70-second start. Fantastic!
And well, on to practice session number two, which wasn't going quite by the form book. Well, for all the teams, I mean, we had McLaren at fastest, the McLaren of Kovalainen and not McLaren of Hamilton. Yes, this is from ITVF1.com again. Kaiki Kovalainen showed he has no intentions of paying second fiddle to his teammate. The Finn, who outpaced Hamilton in the morning, only just though, but this time he set a best time of a 1:19.989, which was over half a second faster than anyone else could manage. Now, his nearest challenger did not come from his teammate, it came from the Aussie in a Red Bull car, yes, Mark Webber. Hamilton ended up close behind in third, with compatriot David Coulthard a strong fourth, ahead of his final British Grand Prix appearance. So, while the McLaren drivers spent the entire session towards the top of the times, main rivals Ferrari had a low-key afternoon down at the timesheet, as they likely were working on the race setup. Championship leader morning pace setter Massa completed just 18 laps following repairs to his car, following that heavy morning crash which we already talked about. Teammate Kimi Raikkonen, though, ended a fairly anonymous Friday in 12th place. Now, Massa's first session benchmark of a 1:19.5 remained as the opening day's best time to prove the world championship team is still obviously on that pace. While the Italian squad's mechanics spent the early part of the session working on the Brazilian's car, both McLarens wasted little time in picking up from where they left off from the first session. Kovalainen set the time by lapping in the 1:21s, the late one, it was a 1:21.8. And then Hamilton lowered that to 1:21.2. Now, Rosberg in the Williams car matched the hero's home time to the exact thousandth of a second. And then it was left to Sebastian Vettel and then Kovalainen to take the top. So, Vettel and then Kovalainen beating that time. Yes, Kovalainen had switched to the soft compound tyres a bit earlier than his rivals. And, well, 30 minutes in, he did a 1:20.3, and that remained as the one to beat. That before the Finn returned again to get that 1:19.99. Now Hamilton, who had earlier run across the grass following a mistake at Vail, could only get to just shy of half a second, but for a small mistake in the complex towards the end of the session. Now, behind the top four, Rosberg completed an encouraging day for Williams in fifth ahead of Vettel, while the third Briton in the field, Honda's Jenson Button, was also high up in seventh. Massa, all who ran wide several times, ended up almost a second of the pace, with Nakajima and Barrichello rounding off encouraging days for their prospective teams. Nakajima, however, did make one significant mistake when he put two wheels on the grass coming out of the Abbey chicane and a span. Yes, he spun his FW30 nose first into the inside wall, breaking the car's front wing. And it was quite a heavy clown as well. Now, with the top 10 having an unusual look, both BMWs duly found themselves outside the top 10 in 10th. Well, outside the top 10 in 11th, sorry, in 13th. 11th for Kubica, 13th for Heidfeld. And it was the same for Renault and the Toyotas. But the situation probably caused a bit of concern for the clone squad, who propped up in the times as because Timo Glock lost most of his afternoon running after a gearbox problem, within the first 20 minutes. Mignano Trulli span out into the tyre barriers after his rear wing came loose at the end of the hangar straight and went straight in, thus wrecking the car. So, not a very, very good, not too good session for Toyota, but as always, here is your top 40. And in fastest, we have everybody's favourite Finn, according to McLaren, Heikki Kovalainen. In second, we have Mark Webber in the Red Bull. Third, one of the home heroes, Hamilton in the McLaren. Fourth, the other home hero, Coulthard in the other Red Bull. Good session for Red Bull. Fifth, Rosberg in the Williams. Sixth, Vettel, Toro Rosso. Seventh, the other home hero, Jenson Button in the Honda. Eighth, Massa in the Ferrari. Ninth, Nakajima in the other Williams. Tenth, Barrichello in the Honda. 11th, Kubica in the BMW, 12th Raikkonen in the Ferrari, 13th Hyper in the BMW, 14th Glock in the Toyota, 15th Alonso in the Renault, 16th Fisichello in the Force India, 17th Bordet, 18th Piquet in the Renault, 19th Sutil in the Force India, and 20th the crashed Trulli in the Toyota. Well, there's your practice 1 and 2 for what looks to be Silverstone's penultimate Grand Prix, at least for now. We'll be back next year at Silverstone, and then 2010 looks to be at Donington. Anyway, stay tuned to F1 episode 86. This has been the end. Next time, we'll be talking about that qualifying session.